Weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
Cambridge 105.
It's National Empty Homes Week, set up to highlight the number of empty properties despite a chronic housing shortage. There's currently estimated to be 272 properties in Cambridge which have been empty for more than 6 months, of which 49 are thought to have been empty for more than 2 years. Kevin Price is Executive Councillor for Housing on Cambridge City Council. Hello, Kevin. Good to see you again.
Good evening, Julian.
So what sort of properties are most likely to be empty in Cambridge?
Oh, I don't think there is a particular type of property that's most likely to be empty. Earlier in the year, I had a cycle ride around the city with our relatively recently appointed empty homes officer, whose job it is to find where they are and to negotiate with the owners of the properties with an attempt to persuade them to bring them back into use. And you would just be surprised. They're on some of our main roads, and a lot of them are places you wouldn't, just by walking past, know that they were necessarily empty.
I guess some are complete giveaways, aren't they? Grass overgrown or a whole load of pizza leaflets sticking out of the letterbox. But other ones are perhaps more difficult to track down. They might be just as neat and tidy as my house, your house, or anybody else's for that matter.
Oh, absolutely that. Yes, and obviously, you know, I've seen some, and I saw some that were quite clearly empty. And we're encouraging the public to let us know, you know, if they know of a home that's been empty for some time, just to report it to the council, let us know so we can, or our officers can do the work, find out who owns the property and, you know, why it's empty.
I guess sometimes there could be genuine circumstances, an elderly relative perhaps who has died and the family just simply getting things together in order to then sell it on or whatever they choose to do with it. But presumably other circumstances, for example, we hear of new built houses which end up being empty because people have decided it might make a good investment, but they don't seem to be particularly interested in renting it out to further that investment.
No, that I think that aspect, and I think I've spoken about this before, is what they call buy to leave, where brand new properties are bought. And with the increase in house prices in Cambridge, it seems to be better for them to leave them empty rather than to go through all the hassle of getting letting agents and all the stuff that goes, and then redecorating when people have lived in and moved out. They will keep them empty and then wait until the price has risen to the point at which they think they want to take their profit and then sell them on. I'm not sure that's a huge problem in the city, but we are aware of it. But in the main, it is, like you said, you know,
everyday properties.
Everyday properties. Many, you know, many with a story of a family at war with it, you know, that can't decide who's going to have on what they're going to do.
I guess sometimes who actually owns it could be a potential issue amongst the family. But once your officer is made aware, they find a property, what can they do? You know, if somebody wants to leave it empty, surely it is their property. They can do what they like with it.
In the end, that is pretty much what they can do. But you know, this is a process of talking,
some gentle persuasion,
and to encourage that. You know, look, there is a desperate need, you know, across the country, but certainly in Cambridge, for homes for people to live in, and you've got one here that's empty. Why don't you either sell it to someone that wants to live in it, or have it done up and maybe rent it out yourself, or put it through an agent. And you know, we've got access to grants that we can give some landlords that, or I say landlords, they might become landlords, but to put their property back into a decent order. And
I guess then ultimately if they get some rent money in there, do they then have to pay back the money of the grant?
Ultimately that money is payable. Yes, it is. It's not a gift. It is a grant, but it is a step forward. It's a way of bringing that property back. And we have taken some 20 odd homes back in the last 6 months. So there is a sort of fairly successful story behind this. And I'm sure that the hard work that's going into this will see us, bring back many more.
Has there been any shift over time in the number of properties that are left empty, or does it just stand at a regular number, more or less, at the same sort of figures that we quoted at the beginning of this piece?
At a guess, I think it would be sort of fairly much along those lines, and we're now more aware of it, I think, than we were before. And
there's more of a need because of the pressing needs we're constantly talking about on this show and others about the difficulties of finding a property. And, of course, if you find one, then paying for it.
Exactly right. So, yes, we're constantly on the lookout. I mean, I'm told by office this is day one, and we've already had three reports of empty homes. Now, whether those... I haven't been told yet whether those homes are ones that we already knew about, or whether these are others, but we will be on the case.
I guess it could be an innocent explanation. They've gone off to see, grandchildren in Australia or something, and they're back in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, I'm sorry, they've just gone on holiday for a fortnight. Yeah, please don't report your neighbour's homes being empty just because they've gone on holiday now.
They played loud music before they went. The other thing I need to ask you about, Kevin, because it's in the news today, and that's the homelessness figures in Cambridge are doubling. That's a pretty sharp increase, isn't it, over the past 12 months? What has caused that? And do you think Cambridge has ended up with a disproportionate number of homeless on the streets?
It's difficult to know exactly what has caused it. There'll be, a range of things. Lack of housing, losing a tenancy, for instance, would be one way. The effects of cuts in benefits over a period. Has led to more people being on the street, so it's not the only cause. The count that you're talking about was a count of 40. It was taken on one night, and these are the figures that go back to central government and the equivalent.
So you have to report these back, do you, once in a while? Are they your figures or an agency which is done on your behalf?
They're the council's figures. We have officers that go out, the street outreach team, and they do a count of. Now, as to whether they see everybody that's on the streets is an unknown, but certainly that's the number that they have counted, and it is quite a large, significant increase.
Do you have evidence as to where the people are from? Are they Cambridge people who have been made homeless, or as sometimes it's suggested, people who are coming in from other cities because they feel that us Cambridge folks are perhaps a little more generous than most?
The majority of those have a Cambridge link. They are from Cambridge. There are a number of those from outside the UK, for instance, who are people that have no recourse to public funds, and there's a limit to what we as a local authority can do to help them. You're right about Cambridge being a fairly generous place, and but I'm not convinced that that's a magnet and it's leading that many people.
Because I do sometimes wonder if maybe we're helping people at the wrong point in the chain. That's to say, we're helping them when they're on the streets. For example, we had a young woman in from Street Bite this afternoon on our afternoon show, and talking there about going round, giving them cups of coffee, giving soup. Really, really good service. However, that's not actually, that's the, if you like, at the end of the problem, when really what we need to be looking at, and this may not be the council's area, but at the start of the process to stop these people becoming homeless in the first instance.
Well, and the council is involved, and we do give all sorts of sort of financial advice to people that might be on the brink. So there's a lot of work done by council officers and others and charities involved to help people prevent them becoming homeless. And yes, of course, you're right. Once they're on the streets, it is a difficulty. It's not just. I mean, it has to be said. This is not isolated to Cambridge. This doubling in homelessness, there's been a fairly large national spike in certain.
And that's happened. Are you able, if you look and compare previous years, are you able to see as to what point that spike began and when it began to really climb?
I'm not certain of that. I mean, I can find that out. I mean, I'm not aware of exactly how and when we find that out. But one can see it. You know, if you walk around town, you know, you can tell from the centre of Cambridge that there are more people than there used to be, for instance.
I remember...
Plenty of anecdotal evidence for it.
I remember a Saturday night walk I had a few months ago. It took a route I wouldn't normally go, and it's perfectly safe, we'd hasten to add, but there were people who, under the bridge on the Cam and different other parts as well, and you think, oh my goodness, there's more here as well, and it's quite disturbing when one sees it in an area that you're not simply used to.
No, absolutely. I mean, I would say that our sort of street outreach team know almost everybody that is out there, and they do meet and they do speak them, and you know, help is offered. There is help out. Help
and
out.
I guess some people don't want help, but of course there's plenty who do.
That's oh yes, of course there are plenty that do, and those that do are offered that help.
Okay, well, Kevin, look, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. That's Kevin Price, his executive councillor for housing on Cambridge City Council, and it's now 5:44.